listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas, 200 Fox Sports radio stations, Monday Night Football aftermath, an episode of Colin Cowherd is crazy. Also, Eli Manning, history book maybe being closed here in studio with me. One of the pros who know, Brad Powers. Fezzik. Handicapping day back tomorrow and back for the rest of the week. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start in the NFL with a changing of the guard in New York as Eli Manning has been benched by the New York Giants. Daniel Jones, now the starting quarterback, the rookie out of Duke, will be the starter under center this Sunday as the Giants take on the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay.
Daniel Jones, that's an interesting thing. For some reason, it conjures up something. Wasn't there like a porno called something, something Daniel Jones, like in the 70s that was famous? I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know. Here's what I know. First thing, I don't think we can judge Daniel Jones. Meaning other than what we saw in the preseason, which was pretty limited, and the film guys say, and let's admit it though, the numbers were good.
85% completions, yep.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
Now, the film guys that I trust say they really made an effort to pad his stats. And that doesn't mean that that's easy, meaning I couldn't, you know, they could try to pad my stats out there. It'd be look like Lucas. Remember when Lucas had to get the punt? In the NFL, forget about it. But this guy's a first-round talent, and that's kind of my point. The Giants 150% were happy with their pick, or they wouldn't have made it. No one is, unless the mob is involved in a way I don't understand, forcing front offices to do things. The front offices do what they want. And this is what I say, and everyone who's smart kind of nods and says, yeah, yeah. And then we all forget it. Every front office, every draft felt like they had the perfect draft given the circumstances. Meaning you might have wished that this one guy had fallen, but based on the entire universe of potential picks, you picked the guy you wanted. They didn't have to. It's not like going on a date where they might say yes and they might say no. It's not like signing free agents. They might say yes, they might say no. They don't have any choice. So every team drafts, given the givens, exactly who they want. They all thought they had the perfect draft. At least collectively, right? If there's a meaning, if there's three people in a room and it's kind of 2-1, one of those guys won't be happy with that pick, but the other two, as an organization, a majority rules and they get who they want. They wanted Daniel Jones. They didn't want Sam Darnold the year before. So does that mean Daniel Jones is good? Does that mean he had nothing to do with the 70s porno? No. It doesn't mean he's good, doesn't mean he's bad, doesn't have anything to do with the porno. We just don't know. So anyone that's trying to figure it out much beyond that, I think is making a mistake. And it's a mistake that talk radio does all the time. Why? Because they need to talk, right? Well, we want to make money and talk about things that are true. Does anyone disagree?
No, not at all.
I was on board with the pick when they made it. And the idea that they that they wouldn't have. You'll never see anybody, to your point, in a draft room. I've never seen anybody after they make a selection slam the stapler down on the table and go, God, I can't believe we made that pick. Everybody loves that draft.
It's almost like saying, sir, what would you like for your entree? Give me the bone-in filet, please. And they walk away, go, God, I don't want that bone-in filet. I mean, Fezzik might, because he has two sides. He's saying things like, I think his power rating might be a little low. And it's like, well, who makes it? Me? All right, well, raise it. So now, you can have buyer's remorse, all kind of things. And the funny thing is, though, Jonas had a great line there. It doesn't matter what Jonas thinks. Meaning he could like it and be all excited. And I don't think Jonas's ability to assess quarterbacks or mine or anyone outside of football is up to the level of a GM of any team. Even Jerry, as much as we'll say, well, Jerry Jones isn't a GM. He's been in football for 30-some years, and he's a very intelligent guy, right? And he's at practice. He's talking to the coaches. Jerry Jones probably knows more football than 99% of the hundreds of thousands listening right now. And he's the one we point to as the one that doesn't know. All right, so let's get to Eli. We're going to find it. Well, last thing, Daniel Jones. Fezzik, again, you got to put a number on it in a way. Brad, did you see what he said about?
Yeah, Fezzik said 1 point downgrade for Daniel Jones.
All right, so let's be clear. Eli Manning better than Daniel Jones. Steve Fezzik, 2-time Super Contest champion. Perhaps the best NFL handicapper publicly in the world, says he'd rather, if he had the Giants, have Daniel Jones.
Yep.
Check that. He'd rather have Eli Manning.
Yeah, he'd rather have Eli Manning. Now, he caveated and said early in the season, he thinks by the end of the season, there won't be that big of a difference. And I'll tell you what, RJ, Vegas says no difference. The line for this week's game, New York Giants are at Tampa Bay. The Giants are a 6.5-point underdog. After that news was announced today that they're going to go with Daniel Jones, the Giants are still a 6.5-point underdog at Tampa Bay.
So this is excellent because on one hand, you've got an individual, an expert's opinion, a Vegas expert, Fezzik. He says Eli 1 point better. The betting market collectively, collective IQ, that's who we're trying to beat the market. So we disagree sometimes, says about the same. I think he might be right. The market. And here's why. I think the Giants might get a little perked up. And that's the question. Good point. It doesn't feel like Eli was going anywhere, getting any better. He's not getting any younger. So they gave him a couple games. So to me, maybe Eli's a smidge better, and maybe the Giants are a smidge more energized with Daniel Jones. Also, I agree with Fezzik. Like any rookie, there's a chance he's going to trend up fast, and there's a chance he's going to flame up. We just heard Paxton Lynch's name, right? It happens. No fan. I'm a Steelers fan. No fan wants to hear that news update. I'll tell you. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So, Jonas, you followed the teams pretty well. Any other thoughts on Eli, but also do you think the Giants themselves get perked up?
Yeah, I think they're going to get perked up because I think he adds another dynamic athletically to the position they haven't had in a long time. Also, this kind of got buried in week one with how well Dak Prescott played and the Cowboys looked, but Daniel Jones was brought into that game late. So it's not like this is his first NFL action. And most of the time, you never give a rookie quarterback his first action in a live game unless there's an injury to a quarterback. That's a big no-no. Let's give him a full week to prepare. If we're going to go to this guy, let's make the switch. And they did it in week one late in that game, which told me the writing was on the wall. This was going to happen sooner rather than later.
And listen, even if, let's just say Eli was 2 or 3 points better, which would be a significant amount, but not a gigantic amount. Like, we're Big Ben 6 points better than the backup. How much value is there on winning games when you have no chance or almost no chance for the playoffs? Now, right now, it's not no chance. My guess is soon enough, it's going to be no chance.
Yeah.
So what are you gaining from playing Daniel Jones? Two things. One, his maturity, his experience level. But two, you get to find out about him. I mean, to some degree, it's kind of funny to think of it like in some kind of scientific method type of way. But dating, for example, Brad, you're single. Dating is supposed to be fun, but it's supposed to be a discovery process where you're discovering about a person. The first date, you want to discover certain things, and then 6 months in, you're discovering other things. And then oftentimes you're kind of waving by. And then it happens again. And then finally, there's someone you're saying, huh, I know enough. And everyone does it. You know, Vegas weddings prove this, right? The Hangover Part One style proves this. But if you're if you're doing it intelligently, that's what you're doing. Well, the Giants bought a big diamond ring because they had that first round draft choice for Daniel Jones. Now you got they're engaged. Right? Can Daniel Jones show them that it's time to get married? You know, we'll see. Dak hasn't gotten married yet. If you extend the analogy, right? You get a couple or 5 years, I guess, with a first round pick. 4 years otherwise. Now let's finish up with Eli. Last 33 games. 8-25 straight up.
Wow.
That's bad. Now, I thought I was going to be the only one that had this, but God darn it, Colin had it. Right now, exactly a 500 record for Eli. Exactly. You got to wonder if that affected the decision. Right? Meaning, if he ends up having a below 500 record, that becomes the talking point about his Hall of Fame candidacy. Yeah. Right?
That's a good point.
But under that theory, wouldn't it be so much better to stop one game early?
Yeah, it had a winning record.
Right? And then if somehow Daniel Jones goes down, you know, we don't ever hope for it, but it's always possible an injury. Does Eli think, oh, God, I don't want to go out here and lose? Imagine like one, it was like, what was it? It was Ted Williams, right? He could have, that last game, he could have sat out and had enough at-bats for a 400. He said, no, I'll hit. And went like 5-for-7, ended up batting 406, if I recall. Imagine Eli has to play a game for either he has a winning record or a losing record. One game, like the last game of the season.
I mean a lot. RJ, I think you're burying your lead, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, you had a great prop bet this offseason discussing exactly what is happening right now with the Giants. You took Eli Manning's total season touchdown passes. You went under 18.5 because you said, hey, there's a really good chance that at some point this season, the Giants are going to make the switch to Daniel Jones. And right now, Eli Manning sitting on 2 touchdown passes, RJ, barring an injury. I think you got a winner there.
Listen, I don't like to brag.
And there is no one that does it better.
But yes, it's true. And what I'll say is these are the kind that I worry about because I worry about the kids. They listen and they're like, God, does he make this easy? It's not easy. It's not this easy. But again, it goes to show you how, and let's quickly, you know, talk about the logic behind that bet. The number was pretty fair if we knew Eli was going to play. I think, and I'm just going by memory, he had 21 and then 19 the last two years, TDs. And then the over-under was 18.5. To me, it's like, huh, just his natural aging is going to make the 18.5 number, right? If he plays every game, and I think he had the prior 2 years, right? Or close to it. So I figured there's a, you know, what were the odds Eli was going to start off 16 games? Not great. And what's the odds of him starting only a fraction of those games and getting 18.5 touchdowns? Not great. I mean, it really was a beautiful bet. We gave it right here. Hopefully a lot of people took advantage of it. Brad, I appreciate it. I owe you $5 for mentioning it. But no, great point there. And it does bring up one more, which is the betting markets are not all the same. The liquid markets, let's just say the big bet markets, NFL side, you can walk into Vegas, bet $100K on a Sunday, no problem. Just bring the brick, no problem. If on a bet like that, getting over $1,000 at a time is a challenge. Now, most people are going to say, $1,000's good. Yeah, no doubt. But as a professional bettor, the more you bet, if you have a 10% ROI, return on investment projected, you bet 1,000, you've effectively won 100, theoretically. You bet 10,000, you've won 1,000. And obviously bankroll management's a consideration, but for guys like Fezzik, guys like you, Brad, you crush the early, like the virgin lines that come out before, you know, here in town, the Circa now is putting them out. You kill those. You have for years, but there's a limit. How much can you bet on those at the Circa now?
You can bet 2,000 in person on the sides.
And if you're on the app?
1,000.
Yeah. So is it nice to get down 1,000?
Yeah.
but you'd rather get down more.
Oh, yeah. On some of them, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing, guys. If you're not betting, let's say a nickel, 500 is where the limits kind of, you know, some of the stuff is limited at a nickel. If you're not betting more than a nickel, and a vast majority of you are not, the average bet, individual bet is about $35. So if you're betting like even 20, you're not that far from average. And there's no virtue in betting a lot. You should only bet a lot if you know you're a professional level guy, and that's rare. So, but here's the thing. Imagine you have one poker table with all, you know, Doyle Brunson, Phil Ivey, et cetera, and then another poker table with a lot of fanny packs. Actually, Haystack Hank might be pulled up. Where would you rather play? Well, you might say, well, what other factors are there? Well, the limits over there are a lot higher with Doyle. Well, I don't ever bet that amount anyway. Okay, then go play with Haystack Hank. So to me, if you're not ever betting enough to go over those small limits, the markets with the small limits are much easier to beat. That's why they have the small limits.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Thanks for joining us. It's a very special day here, Straight Outta Vegas. Our 1 year anniversary. Oh, wait. I think didn't you guys hear that? 1 year anniversary. Oh, yes. I heard a few boos for Jonas in there.
That's all right. I'm used to it.
They're not booing. They're saying Jonas. Here's the thing, guys. It's fun, the year. I feel like the show has really grown. I feel like our audience, the dedication you guys have is just heartening. The numbers are outstanding. Now, think about this. Comparing October of last year, which would have been our second month, pretty much, to July. Now, Brad, you're not a radio professional. I mean, you're becoming one, I guess, in a way. You would think in July, vacations, picnics, you know, fighting the mosquitoes and such. October is one of the biggest months in sports.
Yeah, everything's going on.
So I think in general, and Jonas, you're a pro. What, about maybe 60% as many people, 65 listening in July? Typically?
Yeah, probably. I mean, with vacations and summers and all that stuff, yeah.
All right, so our July numbers were 300% better than October.
That's amazing.
So, guys, it is taking off. And I got to be honest, it matters to me. Financially, and I've said this before, I don't say it a lot, because I don't want it to be the message, but I lose money doing this. The amount of money, not from betting, but, you know, on the business side, I mean, all the prep for this. So it's a passion. And listen, it's not FSR is very generous. And that's the truth. It's a passion for me. And it's not just jibber-jabbering. It's spreading the word about sports betting. And not even the act of betting, but rather sports betting information. You know, a few years ago, I spoke a feature presentation at South by Southwest. It was an honor, but my topic, they let me choose any topic I wanted. It was sports betting media, how that really, and I tell this story now and again, it's a quick one. My grandfather just passed away about a year ago, you know, in his mid-90s. He never bet. He was WW2 guy and, you know, was on Normandy invasion and all that, but Italian, and they had the joints, they called them, where it was just the dice and the cards. And remember, no Netflix, no internet, no TV at that point, right? He just never got around. It just felt like it wasn't a religious thing. It was just, he felt like he couldn't succeed if he was spending his time doing that, right? But he appreciated that I enjoyed it as a kid, and he used to walk in when my buddy George and I were watching football and say, who's winning? And then we'd say, and he goes, well, who's favored? And it's like he didn't want to know the line necessarily. It was like, who's David, who's Goliath? Right? What would happen that would be a surprise? And that's what Vegas does. We quantify that stuff. And this show tries to help you with your bets, but it's equally trying to, or probably more so, trying to help you with your sports expertise, because cold cash over hot takes is a thing, and the ratings show it's a thing. Half of you guys and gals don't bet. So 1 year anniversary, hopefully. In fact, I feel if I, you know, I kind of can predict the future now and again. I think year two is going to be even better. And I feel like I got a much more good idea about what I want to do with the show. And I will say Fez isn't here. Fez is he'll be here tomorrow. Key member of the show. Brad's been a superstar. I mean, Fez, I had a lot of expectations for. Brad, not as many, younger. Brad, you've exceeded him.
Thank you.
No doubt. And Jonas, you know, I didn't want you on. Oh, wait, that's not true. No, all joking aside, Jonas was a late decision, and I'm ecstatic with it because I just want him to talk a little more because he sits back and he's so respectful, but then he does 3 or 4 hours by himself. Now, I'm sure in that fourth hour, he's repeating himself, but geez, you figure every day he's going to have a good, you know. So all I'm saying is we'll just do a live on-air critique is more Jonas. Not too much more. I mean, it is RJ's show, but just, you know, 90 more seconds a day. What do you think, Brad?
I like it.
Yeah, okay, I'm into that. That works. We can do
and,
it.
And they'll come out of Brad's 2 minutes. That's going to be, that actually might not work out so well, right? Let me do some math. All right, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Year two starting now. By the way, you can listen to Fox Sports Radio, 200 stations across the country, the website, foxsportsradio.com. Sirius, the iHeartRadio app, on demand. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now, it is the coolest day since June, 85 degrees on the strip, and the neon is flickering like birthday candles.
So, RJ, we were talking about the Giants quarterback situation. Daniel Jones now the starter in New York. But the conversation is now what to make of Eli Manning and not only his future, but how he'll be looked back on when his career is all said and done.
Yeah, to me, the whole Hall of Fame talk is for other shows. I'm going to say one thing, and I'll ask you guys quick roundtable on this. Eli, not a great record. In fact, exactly 500. 0-4 in the playoffs other than the two runs. But, oh, the two runs. The two runs. Two Super Bowls against Tom Brady, nonetheless. Would you rather have, let's say, the prototype of the non-Super Bowl winner, but great stats, Phillip Rivers, in this era, I'd say.
Yep.
As a fan of the NFL, would you rather have been supporting and cheering for Eli with some real lows, some real mediocre seasons, and then the two Super Bowls, or pretty sustained excellence as a quarterback, but never winning the big one?
I'd rather cheer for Eli.
Phillip Rivers for me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I need consistency, and the lows have been so low with Eli Manning. And I understood he had a couple of great throws in those Super Bowl and he played really well. It's just he's been really bad at times, really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they hung on too long, but where would you have ranked him? Let's say the year they won their second Super Bowl. Where would you have ranked Eli just regular season quarterbacks?
Oh, geez.
Thought is he was like seven, eight,
yeah.
Nine.
Yeah, top half to borderline top 10, I would say.
Yeah, so I mean, in a weird way, what you're saying is because he didn't retire, because all you really expect, I mean, if you get 12 good years out of a quarterback, you're fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, in a weird way, his whole career would be looked at differently if he were retired 5 years ago.
Yep.
Now, Eli certainly did get the, you know, he certainly, let me say it like this. Now let's play big bank, take little bank. Apparently, Eli is number two on the all-time list, and Peyton's number one on an aggregate salary.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I just heard that today. So we'll say, we'll attribute that to the Ether. I'm not exactly sure who said it, but I can't imagine they had it too wrong. Last thing, I think Colin was wrong about this. Colin was talking about, oh, Eli, don't go to Jacksonville. You can hang out with Coughlin during the summer. And, you know, I think there's only two times I feel bad for the athletes because, let's be honest, they're making a lot of money. They're socially doing pretty well, most of them, almost all of them. But here's where I feel bad. The other time is when they finally mature, when they're like, let's say 30, that it's too late sometimes, you know, is that you were a prima donna, now you've matured. Because most guys, if they mature at 30, everyone's happy. The girlfriend's happy. It's finally time to get married or whatever. Here's the second time. His life is going to change in a fundamental way that money doesn't help. I mean, it might help it, but it doesn't cure it. Where he'll never be near as good at anything else in his life. Not even close. So what, as bad as he's been now even, Fezzik believes he's better than Daniel Jones. But let's say he's one of the 40 best quarterbacks in the world. What are you, any of us, you know, maybe we can get very narrow and say sports betting talk number one, but I mean, I was just thinking it. I just said it. It was weird. But in anything as big as the NFL, it's tough. And he'll never have that. It's always known. Even when a kid, he was great. He was Archie Manning's son. And now he's going to be Eli Manning. He's still going to have his two rings. He's going to have his mountain of money. And what? He's got to live now another 40 plus years in theory. So if you hold on just a little longer, it'd be crazy if you didn't, right? And think about the Muhammad Ali amongst everyone. You got to wonder about the makeup of the Jim Browns. And I don't mean that pejorative. I don't mean that in a negative sense. What I'm saying is they're different. But I think a vast majority of athletes don't want to let it go. You know, there's a movie, last thing I'll say, from the 80s, Everybody's All-American. Not really considered a classic, but it was about a football player that played down south, and then he played in the league, and then he got old. And I actually think it's quite a good movie. But, you know, to me, if Eli does hold on, want to go somewhere else, I think it would be justified, and it would be like most people in his spot would.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I think this idea that Gase is a good coach, I think this is the perfect time to look at it. Now, this is amazing. The 50th game as head coach was yesterday for Gase. 25 of the games his backup quarterback was in.
Oh, wow.
Now, there's two ways to look at that. One way is to say, oh my gosh, imagine how good he'd be with his quarterback. And the other is he doing something to hurt these quarterbacks? Meaning, that seems really quick. And now Simeon goes down, like, who isn't necessarily super durable. And I think the point I made to Colin there, which was key, people get fired. If anything, I'd rather hire a COO or something that's a second time around because they've made their mistakes, even if they didn't do great in the other job, if they have the talent. But usually you got to sit and contemplate what you did wrong. You got to go think it through, have a couple more. Even Belichick had to do that. The idea that he was hired. How often does a coach get fired for cause and get hired by another team that same season or for that same, it's rare? Does Gase warrant that? I think it's a big question mark.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.